Well, I'm blessed to share with you this morning. Always a little nervous. If you see me after worship, run out the back. It's not because I'm leaving. It's because I want to use the bathroom before I get up here. Amen. And I just want to agree with my dad, Olivia. So proud of her headed to Elam. What a blessing it is there. And it will impact her life like you've never seen. Amen. Proud of all the kids. Proud of my son, Ryan, moving up to tag youth. I have a youth. What? Blessed. So blessed. Want to always pay honor where honor's due. My dad, every time I get up here, it takes servants in the Lord's house, amen, and sacrifice. Servants and sacrifice. Sounds fun, doesn't it? And always my parents, very thankful for the sacrifice that they've made that not all are aware of, but I definitely am aware of that sacrifice, and we honor you this morning. Amen. Amen. In that vein this morning, also very thankful for my brothers, very thankful for their families and the encouragement, the love and support that they always are to me. And I want to segue right into what I'm going to share this morning. And I say this every time I minister. Do we have that Bible app up there? Yeah, put that Bible app up. If you don't use this app, tell your neighbor you should. Tell your neighbor you should use this app. This app will walk you through the Bible in 365 days, and I don't know how many people have truly read the Bible front to back, but this makes it very feasible. There's also another app like it for kids. There's nothing like imparting God's Word into your kids at a very young age. I think that's worth mentioning. But the message I'm going to speak this morning, I say this every time that I minister, but the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me specifically about. So if you think that this is something that I'm directing at any category of people or segment of people, you're totally wrong. I'm just regurgitating what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about and ministering to my heart about is unity. And and more specifically, the power of agreement, the power of agreement. And I'd like to look at two prayers today, two prayers in the Scripture, a prayer that Paul prayed and also a very similar prayer to one that Jesus prayed. Two prayers, Apostle Paul and Jesus. And I think that if two men of God like Jesus sent to earth and the Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, prayed this prayer, I think it's also important for us to pray the same prayer. And I'll get to those prayers in a minute. But unity is a subject that not only in the world that we live in today, but also in the culture that we live in today, isn't talked about much because we are practicing oftentimes the exact opposite. I'd like to say that it's just true in the world that we live in, but it's also true in the church at large. And I'm not talking about City Church in particular or St. Anthony's. I'm talking in the context of the Christian church at large. Unity is an issue because people have positions, they have wants, they have desires that are more important than this subject, unity. And just a couple examples. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Aaron, walked into one of the facilities here. When you are around people for long enough, you know when they're struggling. Amen. And I saw the look on her face, and I said to her, "What's up?" And I asked again and again, and I pried, amen. That's what we're supposed to do. I pried. And finally she told me, she said, "Someone said some things about my business about my dance studio that really hurt me, that really scarred me, and she began to tell me these things that this person said and went into detail and began to describe it. And I thought to myself, it was kind of a confirmation on what I should share this morning. I thought to myself, surely this person can't be a believer. Surely they can't. They can't be a Christian. There's no way that they could be a believer. There's no possible way that they could be a believer and speak like that about a ministry, a business that's actually ministering the gospel when it doesn't have to. I walk into her dance studio. It happens to be at 114 Liberty Street. At the community center at St. Anthony. I walk in that studio. I hear Christian songs being played. And I see these beautiful little kids, boys and girls, dancing before the Lord in song. They might not even know it. They might not even know they're dancing before the Lord. But when you put worship music on them, praise music, people begin to sing and dance before the Lord. God is being glorified. And then I walk in there some nights and there'll be this, she has, am I saying it right? What is it? Scripture of the month. And I pick these papers up all over the place because she's always distributing these papers with this verse on it. And amen, I get to pick them up from time to time. But I think to myself, wow, in a market, in a business, she's using her gifts and talents not only to create a business, but also to minister to people. And how could a person that claims to be a believer, how could a person that names the name of Jesus, how could a person that says, I am a believer, I am a Christian, I am of thee, Lord, how could they throw insults and just tear down another person in that way? I said, it can't be true. But how many of you know it's more normal than it is not? How many of you know that partial stories and misconceptions and miscommunications can be made? I know I'm gonna step into a territory this morning, but I believe it's of the Holy. Misconceptions can be thrown out there towards other believers within the household of faith. I remember when 3 years ago, this December, I went to come to the church to help my dad on Liberty Street, help the church on Liberty Street. I can remember being out there shoveling and plowing the parking lot and out there. And this 80-year-old woman would drive by all the time, and she would beep, 70s, 80s. I think she was in her 80s, though, I found out later on. And I thought she was waving to me, but what I come to find out after several times of her beeping and driving by, she wasn't waving at me in a friendly way. She was flicking me off. And I thought to myself, out in front of a church, you're doing the work of the ministry, and you're getting flicked off. I remember telling my dad that and he'd say, just keep loving people, Ryan. Just keep loving on them. And I can remember saying under my breath, until they flick you off. Keep, and he, my dad just said, that's different. He'd say, keep loving them. Keep on loving them. Then Mr. Art Nicometto put a new light in out in front of the church, and it pointed up at St. Anthony's. And we've come to find out this same person, when they went to walk their dog, would come up to the light and they'd kick the light down at the church, and they stripped the mounting bracket. I don't even know how many times you fix that light. Over and over. Over and over and over again. My mother, when we were growing up, we'd be riding in the car together, and my dad would say, if you don't stop that, I'll stop this car and I'll come into the back. My mother was so worried. Stop it, boys. Stop it, boys. You get to a point when you're a young adult where mom, you know, she's starting to beg you instead of asking you. And you used to wonder, why do you care, Mom? Now stick with me, because I'm headed somewhere. Why do you care if we're together on this? I'd rather fight, right? I'd rather let us go at it. But what I came to figure out having kids of my own is she was worried about the alliance, because the alliance mattered. The friendship, the camaraderie, the love for one another mattered. My mom was trying to tell me this at a young age. You come to have kids, you find this out for yourself. This woman that flicked me off many, many, many times, many, many weeks in and weeks out, and she smashed a light down. How many of you know I'm resourceful? I got deer cameras and all kinds of stuff. If I got to catch somebody doing stuff, I'll catch them. And we caught them. And then the funny part was, my brother and I, Ben and I, we ended up sending our kids to St. Joe's School. Now, stay with me for a minute, because if you don't stay with me, you'll repeat what I'm saying and repeat it wrong. We're in a basketball game, and I love the people over there. Wonderful people, wonderful believers, believers of the Lord. We walk in there, and I'm rooting for my nephew. I'm right on. We walk in there like we you know, we're the prayer. We sit right down front because we want a front row seat on what he's doing and how he's playing. And all of a sudden, one night at that basketball game, here comes that 80-year-old woman walking down by me, and she looked at me, and I'll tell you, it was like she was looking down the barrel of a gun. And I had a choice at that moment. I had a choice in the back seat of my mom's car with my brothers. Did I begin to realize that the enemy was not my brother? The enemy was not my family. The enemy was not the person that I was in it with. The enemy was not the woman who flicked me off week in and week out, even though in my flesh I wanted her to be. The enemy was not of flesh and blood, but of principalities and powers and rulers in dark places that tries to create this division between the saints. I'm preaching better than your amen. Creating this division. I saw that woman, and you have a choice in that moment. Do you practice your faith, or do you practice your flesh? Looked at her. Hi, how you doing? Fast forward a year later, my sons bring home this sheet of paper from St. Joe's School. Hey, we're doing a food drive. So my wife, she'd give the whole house away if I let her. She's packing things up, sending all this stuff off to the school. And we found out, you know, they had this pile of stuff, this pile of food to give away last Christmas. I'm saying it right now. I'm telling you all the story. We get this phone call at the end of the food drive. Come on, you know where I'm headed with this. We get this phone call. We didn't know who to call at City Church. We didn't know who to call at St. Anthony. So, Sam, we figured we'd call you and you'd tell us who to call, right? We want to give all the food from the food drive to City Church in St. Anthony's. We want to give all this food to you. I think she went there two or three times to pick all this food up. Tons of food that went right over next door here. Why do I bring that up? Because if I would have believed that the people across the street were my enemy, I would have never received the blessing that God had in store for me. And there's people in this room. You believe that the enemy is someone different than he is. You think it's the guy sitting four rows from you, sitting in the back corner, leading the ministry, serving with you. You think that he's the enemy. The enemy has you right where he wants you. He has you stuck in this unforgiving, in this divisive mindset of, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that wrong. And you've played right into what the enemy has tried to get you to play into. Thank God. Thank God that God is opening our eyes right as we speak. Hear this. If you don't hear anything else that I say, I am convinced with all of my heart that the enemies, let me be specific about who I think it is. Satan himself. We don't say that in church all too much, but Satan himself, demons from hell, if they can keep you at odds with your brother and sister, they can keep you irrelevant, keep you from doing God's work, keep you from pushing God's kingdom forward. If he can keep you mad at the person five rows behind you, I'm not going to church this morning because such and such is going on. I'm not going to church this morning because he's preaching or she's preaching or he's serving or he's talking. If he can keep you in that state, he can keep you from your greatest blessing. How many of you want to be blessed? The enemy, and I could quote so many scriptures, but I don't have time to. Deuteronomy 32:30. One can chase 1,000. You've heard this. Two can chase 10,000. What's up with the math on that? It doesn't make sense to me. One can chase 1,000. Okay, I get that. I wasn't that bad in math, though. Why can two chase 10,000? Because the power, the anointing, the glory from heaven is in being united. And he wants to keep you from it. He wants to keep you from it. I'd like to dive into these two prayers. One that Paul prayed, the Apostle Paul, and our Savior prayed. They're extremely important to our faith structure because it's the only way we can glorify God. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, for the next 5 minutes, for the next 10 minutes, Father, that you would be glorified. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would challenge our hearts the way you already have in me. Let forgiveness flow in our hearts, Father. Let us love and accept the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 15:5 is this prayer that Paul prays. Profound. How do we miss it in Scripture? Romans 15:5 say, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind, one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the clincher, accept one another. Accept one another, just as Christ has accepted you. You want to bring glory to God? Do you want to bring praise to God? Accept one another. I have failed in this. I failed in it. I'm probably not the only one who's failed in it, though. Do we love people? Do we accept people the way that Christ does? Here's my question. He accepted you when you were messed up. He accepted me when I had no clue. He accepted me when I was far away. Do I accept others when they're far away? When they see something differently than I see it myself, do I accept them or do I shun them? Do I accept, do I love, do I accept people from different backgrounds? Do I accept people that are a different color than me, that speak differently than me, that express themselves? We live in a culture, there's so many expressions. Here's the trouble, though. Does the church see us? Does the world see the church as an accepting organization, as an accepting faith, or one that's closed off? And that says, if you do it my way, I'll accept you. Accepting one another. Just as Jesus Christ accepted you. It's interesting. Paul prayed this prayer. In Romans 15:5. And Jesus prays almost the same exact prayer in John 17:20. Listen to this. Jesus prays this. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. that all of them may be one, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have been loved. It's interesting. Paul prays for unity. Jesus prays for unity. Why? So that God would be glorified and the world would know that God sent Jesus to reach a lost and hurting world. May we be unified. I'm going to ask you for two personal favors, and I don't ask the church for much. I don't ask the people of God for much. I don't think that there are many people in here that could say I've asked you to do two personal favors, but I'm going to ask for two personal favors. Number one being this, pray for unity. And again, I say not just in City Church, not just in St. Anthony's, but for that older woman that drove by and flicked me off for days on end. Pray for unity. Pray for oneness. Pray and ask the Lord. Add to your daily prayer life. People that tell me, I pray for this every day and nothing changes, I don't believe that. Add to your daily prayer life unity within the body of Christ. How many of you will do that for me? Here's the second favor. And I know this is a tough one. This is harder than even asking for money. Here's the second favor that I need. When you hear someone, or when you hear yourself, in the conscious of your mind and spirit, go to speak ill of another person, stop. It's hard, isn't it? How many of you will do those two personal favors for me? There's a few of you won't do it, I know. It's okay, I still love you. I'll tell you why I would love you in a minute. I'm going to give you three reasons why I ask you to pray for unity. Is this okay this morning? Three reasons. Number one, I'll be done in just a minute. Number one, because we desperately need one another. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a specific function, so it is in Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. I want to make a couple statements on these three points. Point number one is what? Because we desperately need each other. But I want to say this. Unity is not uniformity. I'm going to say it again because some of you missed it. Unity is not uniformity. What that means is I don't need to see everything the way you see it. It's okay if we sing different, if we talk different, if we walk different, if we look different. If I wear my shirt tucked in and I look a little different than Garrett does with his shirt out, it's okay because unity is not uniformity. In ministries, in the church, we get people who they have conflict immediately because they say they want unity, but it's only if there's uniformity. If you do it my way, if you see it the way I see it, if you walk like I walk, if you talk like I talk, if you sing like I sing, then we'll have unity. Then we'll do it together. That is not the gospel. That's why I love Tuesday night. Because you get all kinds of people, all different kinds of people, all different backgrounds in one place. And here's what happens. You get a few different people going, oh, well, we can't do that. Oh, we can't say that. Well, what are we supposed to do? And I just say, let it go. Let them go. I'm not talking about false doctrine now. If somebody tells me Jesus was a sinner, I'll look at him, shut up. But unity is not uniformity. It's okay if people see things differently than you see them. Don't throw a tantrum every time someone doesn't see something the way you see it. I know, it's okay. Dad'll be back next week. Because, number one, because we desperately need each other. Number two, say number two. Because the world will see God's love through us. Romans 15:7, I just read it. Accept one another, then just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another. The literal Greek meaning means this. I embrace you. It's okay. I know that you're different. I know what you did Friday night, but I still love you. I know what you did Friday night. She was with me probably doing something. I know what you did. I know your background. I know what you do the minute you get your paycheck. Oh, I could really preach this. I could bowl this right down the lane. I know what you do when you leave church, but I still love you. I still care for you because here's why. Not because I love what you do, because I love who you are because Jesus has called me to love who you are. Because the word number two, because the world will see God's love in us. Can you say amen? Number three, here we go. Because we can do infinitely more together. How many of you love Garrett singing this morning? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you loved it. Okay, watch this now. How many of you loved us singing together? Twice as many hands a second time around. Here's why. Because we're better together. Did you hear that? Did you hear what happened when we begin to sing together? I'm not bragging. I'm explaining what God's power does. I'm explaining what God's unity does. When people get together, all of the sudden, there is an eruption in heaven that says, oh, them people want to work together. Oh, they don't want their own way. Oh, they don't want it all their way. Let me set my hand to this thing. Let me make it real fleshly for you. You ready for this? Some of you need it this way. How about Apple? How about Apple Corporation? You think of one person. I think of Apple was built on a partnership. You say, Ryan, what does that have to do? That's not the scripture. That's not that. Biblical principles work in the world, folks. You got people writing books on this is how you lead. This is how you do this. This is how you, all it is the Bible rewritten in some other guy's tongue. It's the Bible coming alive. Apple. How about you ever heard of Netflix? You ever heard of Microsoft? You ever heard of, I could go on and on. Let me throw one more at you. I didn't do it in the first service. How about Anheuser-Busch Company? Multi-billion dollar company. Started as a partnership. I'm not telling you go drink beer. Get out of here. I'm telling you that unity does something. One of my personal favorites. Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Can I get an amen? Ben and Jerry's ice cream, McDonald's Corporation, all these corporations that started as small partnerships. Somebody came up to me after the first service and said, how about what's the guy's name that owns Amazon? Jeff Bezos. How about him? He was a single owner company. Let me tell you something. His wife that he just gave half his fortune to because whatever reason, but she was his partner. Partnerships work. You can do infinitely more together. Tuesday nights, Jessica took Olivia back. I can do more with Jessica. I can get more done on Tuesday night. Sarah, I can get more done with you on Tuesday night. I can't do it alone. I can't walk that walk alone. Stephen, I can get way more done with you helping me because we're better. Well, let's try it again. We're better together. We're better together. Can do infinitely more. Nike, Yahoo, Berkshire Hathaway, Facebook, Instagram, Walmart, all partnerships. Every last one of them. I want to read one more scripture and I'm closing. Psalm 133 says this, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows a blessing. Let me just say this to you. If you live in division, you live in this awkwardness of calamity and I can't get along with anyone. If you live in division in your house, let me tell you something. My wife is the reason I am the man I am today. I can't do it without her. I can't. I can't do what I do without my wife in agreement with me. If you're at odds in every area, and you know who you are, there are people who they go from person to person to from organization to organization, and they just keep telling. They've created a narrative in their mind. You remember me saying that before? They've created this narrative in their mind that everybody's wrong, and they're right. This morning, I pray not by anything I have to offer. Listen, I'm working this out. With fear and trembling, I'm working out my own salvation. But if you close your eyes right now, you say, Ryan, I have division in every area of my life. I'm not going to ask you to move an inch. I don't want you to go anywhere. I don't want you to come down here between you and the Lord. You say, Ryan, I need this togetherness. I need the gift of unity in my life. Lift your hand right now. Hands all over the place. Hands all over the place. I need this gift of unity. Father, I pray by the working of your Holy Spirit, if all the prayer people would make their way down, I pray in the name of Jesus for the spirit of unity to reign in this place. I curse division. I curse lies. I curse deceit, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to raise up a standard. Raise up a standard. Raise up a standard in this house of unity, of oneness, and the truth of your gospel. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you that you're in this place. Thank you that we sent you now. That you're in this place, moving among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise today. Can we do that? Great, great, Ryan. Great. Some of you, as he was sharing that at the end, you've got division right in your own home and in your own family that the Lord wants to help give you strength with today. We want to pray for you and with you before you leave. Maybe it's in a business. Maybe it's with somebody that you work with, just rubs you every way except the right way. And the Lord, he gives you strength through that moment, through those moments in your life, help you to be what he wants you to be. So Lord, I just pray blessing on your people today. I pray your favor. I ask you to help us with this, to be unified, to love one another, to accept people, and to be the brother and the sister that you've called us to be in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. You need prayer? Come on down. Let these folks pray with you and for you today. Go in his grace. Stop at the tables in the back. You want some information on missions? Stop at that table. Love you. If you need prayer, come on down. Let these people of God pray over you this morning.